Ah, the first taste of rare bourbon you finally got your hands on. That's nice. At Caskers.com, we make this experience easy. Caskers is a one-stop spirit curator with an impressive selection of exclusive, sought-after, rare, and household names in the realm of premium spirits and champagne. Discover the top flavors of the year now by going to Caskers.com and using code WELCOME10 for $10 off your first purchase. Get $10 off your first purchase with code WELCOME10 at Caskers.com.
Hey everybody, welcome back to the podcast. It is always Up to Speed with Formula One here on the Overtime Media Network. Mark Daly here tonight. Yes, I'm all by myself, so the show is only going to be half as good as it is usually each and every week. And this is, well, I guess I'm going to have to take ownership for this. Work, again, has been absolutely insanely crazy busy over the past week or so. I texted Mark last night and I was just quite upfront and honest and said, look, you know, I'm not going to be able to do it on the usual night. And hopefully we can do it on Friday. Mark was like, oh, yeah, sure, no problem. And then he texted me this morning and he said, you know what? Actually, I do have things to do and I'm not going to be able to do the show tonight. So, well, we've done this before, haven't we? You know, as much as I enjoy doing the show with Mark Hamilton, I did do it on my own for the entire, half of 2019, all of 2020. So this is not unfamiliar territory. And I think that in the past, or even right now, I kind of wish that this was a live show. I wish this was like a live radio show, or maybe doing this live streaming or something. I wish we could go to like the phone lines or something. Let's just open it up and get listener calls in and talk about whatever we want to talk about on the show. And get in on the action, guys. Call 555-1234. That's not really the phone number, but it would be kind of cool if that was indeed the case. And just on top of all of that, just to make it more frustrating to get the show up and running this evening, I was sitting down getting all the audio equipment hooked up and nothing happened. And I've sort of been going through this procedure to go cable by cable by cable. And of course, it was probably the most obvious one. It was the mic cable that wasn't working. So trying to look for the spare mic cables that I have around here, because I used to do another podcast for Major League Soccer and the Vancouver Whitecaps. And we always used to, and this is, of course, pre-pandemic days, and my partner Jorge and I, we used to sit down here in this very room each and every week, face-to-face, and record the show. And so I always had two microphones set up, and occasionally, if things didn't work out, we would do over Skype or Zoom or whatever. I guess we used to do it more via Skype. Zoom is more of a 2020 and beyond. Anyway, so 2019 and beyond was always via Skype. And of course, you know, I've got tons of mic cables around, but ever since we stopped doing that show and I focused solely on Formula One, and of course, since Mark has joined up, you know, we're not supposed to get together indoors until this COVID thing dies down. So we've been doing it virtually, and it seems to work pretty well. But of course, when I need to find a mic cable, they're all buried away in the storage and couldn't find anything. But anyways, we'll just leave it at that. How are your weeks going? It's weekend now, and of course, we're a day behind schedule, and we have the free practice in the bag, literally just hours away from qualifying at Imola. Yes, finally, we're going to get to round two of the 2021 Formula One World Championship. And it's kind of funny, you know, it really feels like Bahrain was a long time ago, 3 weeks ago, and it's dragged, but it happened. It hasn't. But I must admit that I'm quite happy to have had the extra week in between, purely from selfish motivations, because I've been working over the weekends and finally got to a point where I can put everything aside, or I've moved past it. And can get back to enjoying all the fun things. And, well, since we can't actually do the live call-in, and let's hope one of these days we can actually do so, at least we can go to the mailbag. And I have one email here from Brian McCarthy, reaching out from Ireland once again. And thanks again for the email, Brian. And among other things, he wanted to talk about the race day coverage. Anyway, so I'll just read from Brian's email. He says, for me as a newer fan, all I know is that Hamilton has been 30-plus seconds in front of everyone else. It is very annoying no matter what happens that they just focus on the leader of the race. when there are often so much interesting battles going on lower in the grid. Last year, we basically didn't see Gasly or Perez in their amazing F1 wins until they got into the top three. Bahrain was an amazing race with so much going on. Perez from pits to fifth, Tsunoda's incredible debut, and very good battle for points finishes. Instead, they showed 30 laps of Verstappen trying to catch up to Hamilton. As a McLaren fan, I would love to see more of the midfield battle as well, as not everyone are Mercedes and Red Bull fans. What do you guys think about the way the coverage is shown? Well, you know, that is interesting, and I think this is probably a complaint that a lot of people have had for many, many years, and I'd like to think it's maybe a little bit better. I don't think it's great, but certainly the big story in Bahrain, of course, was Max Verstappen and Lewis Hamilton trading the lead back and forth a couple of times. And then especially in that latter segment of the race, Max hunting down Lewis. And you just knew that it was going to build up to one real moment when Max was going to make an overtaking maneuver to try and take that race away from Lewis Hamilton. So I guess it really has to come down to the producer and what they decide to show and what they're going to focus on. I mean, it was kind of, like I say, it was kind of building up to that. So maybe they feel that builds more of the tension. But, you know, Brian is absolutely right. I mean, there's a lot of, great things going on up and down the grid, especially in the midfield. And that was one of the stories going into this year, is that there really is no midfield anymore, that all these teams are so even now, and they really are duking it out each and every race. So I do think it is better. And, you know, I have the benefit of watching Formula One for most of my life. And so I have that sort of context. But certainly I think that the leaders are always going to get more camera time than anyone else. And unfortunately, that's just the way it is. But certainly that they should try and balance it out a little bit more. But we'll see. And again, if it goes down to a tight race between Lewis Hamilton or Valtteri Bottas and Verstappen or whoever it is this weekend, you can just bet that they are going to focus on that. Anyways, let's get into the news. There's a lot to cover, and we don't have a lot of time, because by the time that you're sitting down to watch qualifying, you can follow it up by listening to this quickly out of date podcast. But whatever. So some of this stuff is still important and worth talking about. So one that Mark and I have been talking about for a little bit over the past couple of weeks is the question of whether or not the Canadian Grand Prix in Montreal is going to go ahead on June 13th as scheduled. It was reported on Thursday. I'm recording tonight on Friday, April 16th, so mid-late this week. There was a lot of stories going out, and CBC Radio broke the story that the Canadian Grand Prix has in fact been canceled. And there's not a lot of clarity. I mean, you go and look, go and Google it right now. Go look at the latest news, Google Canadian Grand Prix 2021, and there's a lot of conflicting stories out there. I mean, they all basically refer back to this CBC story that came out on Thursday, that the race has been canceled and Canada will be replaced by Turkey instead. I mean, let's face it. I mean, the COVID situation in Canada is not good. We're in the middle of a third wave, and we don't really need to get into that in detail, but that is the reason behind it, is that if the race can't go ahead as planned, then it's because of the health situation. And even though Formula One has a good good bubble, it's just that there will be some intermingling between track staff and event staff and things like that. Obviously, it sounds like they're not going to be able to get people into the stands to watch the race should it go ahead. But on the flip side of that, Formula One maintains that the race, they're still in discussions to pull this one off. So I wouldn't strike a line through Montreal just yet, but it's really looking increasingly likely that it won't go ahead. But if they do go back to Turkey, I mean, that really is a good replacement instead, because if you look at it, it makes a lot of sense, because we'll be in Baku the week before, and then it it just makes a lot of sense. I mean, after Imola, we're going to Portugal, then we have Spain, then we have Monaco, and then the 6th of June is Azerbaijan, and then you were going to be coming to Canada on a week later, and then 2 weeks after that back to Europe for the French Grand Prix at Paul Ricard. But now you have Turkey, which is geographically convenient to Azerbaijan. Excuse me. And also not all that far from France, figuratively speaking. Of course, it'd still be a couple hours in an airplane for all the, you know, the transportation for the staff. I don't know if they would truck that from Turkey to France for all the equipment and the cars and stuff like that. It'd be interesting to find out some of the logistics. But just geographically speaking, I mean, Canada is the odd one out the way that the schedule is right now. So if it does get canceled, I think that going to Turkey would be a very good. Unfortunately, we probably won't see a crazy, really topsy-turvy race like we saw last year when it was held later or in the middle of the fall, and the circuit would have just been resurfaced, and it really was very green and it was very oily. And on top of that, we had the colder temperatures and the rain. And I mean, it made it very interesting because, I mean, obviously the cars were very difficult to handle and very difficult to drive. But in a memorable season that was 2020, that indeed was a very, very memorable race. Hey, so I want to take a quick break here on the show. I'm going to come back. There's a lot more to talk about as we count down the minutes to qualifying at Imola, and we will do just that on the other side of the break, so don't go away. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
All right. Well, welcome back to the show. Thank you for downloading and listening to the show wherever you get your podcasts or watching on YouTube. Just looking at the live subscriber counts, they're actually not decreasing too much. So I guess I am not doing all that bad of a job solo tonight. But certainly I'll be glad when Mark is back on Sunday night when we recap the Grand Prix and all the action at Imola. And well, as we were talking just before the break, and before we get into some of the more specific news to Imola and the weekend ahead, apparently the mayor of Miami Gardens, Rodney Harris, has sponsored a new event, or there was a hearing on Wednesday night in Miami to talk about possibly holding the race in Miami for 2022. And despite a lot of vocal opposition from residents in the area, the local authorities have voted in favor to proceed with that. So this is this circuit that will be built around the Hard Rock Stadium, home of the NFL Miami Dolphins. And well I don't want to say that I don't disbelieve that it's going to happen, but with all the opposition and the people, the residents that live close by there, certainly not happy about it. So it sounds like it's going to go ahead, but as I'd seen before for many years when it came to covering MLS and the whole saga of David Beckham's Inter Miami, or whatever the team is called down there now. I believe it's Inter Miami. I've become completely removed from that world in my quest to really focus on Formula One. Anyways, I mean, they went through several different sites and a lot of different planning before they were able to secure land in Miami for a stadium, and the same thing. I mean, you can't blame people for not being happy if they don't feel like it doesn't work out for them. Anyway, so the new plan that they put in place is going to include a $5 million fund for community benefit programs and businesses in the city, as well as a STEM program for local children that's going to be implemented by Formula One. I don't know. We'll wait and see. But I think it's exciting that they are going to add races to the calendar. I just wish they'd be a little bit less controversial. I mean, Mark and I have talked quite a bit, obviously, about Saudi Arabia. Miami, love to see another race here stateside, but it's got to be under the right circumstances. So I hope that they can reach some sort of compromise, or they can figure something out to help make it work for everyone, not just Formula One, but the people that live there as well. Anyway, so let's get to the action on the track itself. You know, after such an exciting race in Bahrain 3 weeks ago, where it looked like that Mercedes just didn't have the advantage, the domineering advantage that they've really had over the rest of the field for the past several years, it seemed a lot more even, didn't it? And I mean, that was really exciting the way that that one finished up. And it was very exciting the way that it really looked like it was going to be a real battle between Lewis Hamilton. And I've had a lot of feedback, heard from a lot of people that listen to the show that that have made, and of course, I think this is a very astute and a very good comment, that you know, we're all really gushing and excited that they had such a great battle in Bahrain. But what if this is just a flash in the pan? Just because it happened then doesn't mean it's going to happen all season long. And I totally get that. I totally understand that. And of course, we really won't know how this season is going to shake out until we get more races under our belt. We've only got one. We're on the cusp of the second race. And ominously enough, it was the two Mercedes that were fastest in FP2. Valtteri Bottas ran 25 laps. His fastest lap time was a 1:15.551. Lewis Hamilton, his teammate, ran one extra lap. His fastest lap was a 1:15.561, so only a hundredth of a second behind. Pierre Gasly, surprisingly enough, in the AlphaTauri, he was third. His fastest time was a 1:15.629. And then fourth and fifth, surprisingly, was the two Ferraris. And the quickest of the two was Carlos Sainz. His quickest time was a 1:15.834, so just under three-tenths of a second behind Bottas's quickest time. And then there's quite a gap by the time you get to Charles Leclerc. His quickest time was 1:16.371, so 8/10 off of the pace there. And well, obviously there's a name missing in there, and that is Max Verstappen. Max only set the 14th quickest time. It was a 1:16.999, so about 1.45 seconds off of the pace. But Max, he only ran where did it go? He only ran five laps, and he had some what was a suspected drive shaft issue. So obviously, you know, it doesn't look good to see him all the way down there. And Sergio Perez, I mean, not bad from Sergio. Obviously, still settling into the team. He was sixth fastest in the second Red Bull. His fastest time was a 1:16.411, so about 8.5 tenths off of the pace there. And I don't really put a lot of stock into to free practice. It is a good indication of how pacey and how fast everyone is, but you have to take it with a little bit of a pinch of salt at sometimes. I don't think it's a real accurate indicator sometimes of the way that things are going to go, and we'll really get a true indication of their pace, at least in qualifying trim, in not just this weekend, but each and every race. But certainly Max having some mechanical issues, and certainly we want to see that battle rekindled between himself and Lewis Hamilton this weekend. So they're going to have their work cut out from them, cut out for them. And certainly they can't have these different gremlins and things haunting them. I mean, Red Bull said before the season this was the most prepared that they've ever been in the V6 turbo hybrid era. And Sergio Perez had some of his problems. He made into Q2, didn't make into Q3, and then he had some technical little glitches before the start of the race when he had to start from the pits. But yeah, they're gonna have to sort it out because they don't want to go backwards and then give Mercedes an advantage, because you know, if they do, they're just going to walk away with it, and they're going to build up a lead which will be very, very difficult to break down. So obviously one of the stories out of practice so far is the increased pace, the improvement of Ferrari, and that is another story that we've really been keeping our eyes on, because Ferrari obviously really dropping into the abyss last season, obviously not very quick, and we've talked about that many times, the supposed fuel map that was imposed on them because of the secret deal that they had in place with the FIA after 2019. Who knows, that hasn't been proven one way or another, but certainly, like we've talked about many times, it is very fascinating and fun to talk about. But they are looking a little bit better. Lando Norris, the McLaren driver, says that it's not really a surprise. And he told Sky Sports, quote, in Bahrain, they were definitely quicker than us in the majority of corners. Not all of them, but here they look very quick. I don't think it's something we didn't expect. Maybe they're a bit quicker than we expected, but we knew in some races they'd be ahead and some races we'd be ahead. It's Ferrari. If there's one team at the moment that's going to make a big improvement somewhere, it's them. So it's not a surprise. Maybe it's a bit faster than we anticipated, but not a shock, end quote. And that is true. At some point, Ferrari are going to get it figured out, and they are going to get they're going to get back to where they should be. And that should be challenging for wins. And hopefully, if you're a Ferrari fan, challenging for championships as well. But they have really been in not a good place over the past year or so, even going back to 2019. I mean, 2017, 2018, very exciting. I mean, Sebastian Vettel challenging Lewis Hamilton. We're going to talk about that later in the show. And they were legit title contenders. I mean, the final standings may not reflect that 100%, but certainly they were in a much more competitive place, and they were a much quicker team or a much quicker car in those days than they did now. And they were going to get it turned around. And ultimately, I think it's really going to depend on how much time, how much money, and how much resources they want to commit to this car ahead of the new cars that are going to be introduced next year. And that really was that sort of milestone that they were really targeting, was not so much. And I mean, at least in the language that you were using, was that they were not going to be so competitive maybe last year and this year, but they were really targeting a year or two down the road, specifically focusing on the new formula that will be introduced in 2022. But I mean, if they're sorting it out, and as Lando Norris so nicely put it there, that it's not surprising that they are finding some speed and they're putting things back together. But it sounds like it is catching some people a little bit by surprise, and they're doing it a little bit quicker than they were expecting in some of the teams. It's interesting, though. You take Lando's Norris and Lando's comments, and you kind of compare those to what Ferrari driver Charles Leclerc said, and he wasn't as enthusiastic. Obviously, he's used to maybe having a bit more of a competitive car. Well, last year, two years ago, certainly in his first year with the Ferrari was more competitive for the most part here and there. I mean, he won some races and he had some good results. Charles had to say this, quote, it's a big step forward, a significant step forward, as we've seen in Bahrain. We've had a better progression compared to the other teams from last year to this year, so it's positive. But on the other hand, we are not fighting where we want to be fighting, so we're putting all our efforts to try and come back to where we want to be, which is to fight for wins. But if you compare it to last year to this year, we've done a good job, and we need to keep working like this, end quote. So there you go, kind of a mixed reaction. And Charles, you know, I always get the feeling that even though he comes across, for the most part, fairly relaxed, fairly chill, and a kind of a laid-back guy, I think that, you know, when he gets in the car, I think he's very intense. And we know Charles Leclerc's quality, and we know his motivations, and certainly he's not going to be satisfied touring around and just collecting points. He's there to win. He's there to compete for championships. And although it's a step in the right direction, it really isn't that big quantum leap forward that they need to make to get back to the front of the grid and compete with Red Bull, compete with Mercedes for wins and championships. So it's kind of funny. I mean, his competitors, his rivals are going to see it in one way. And Charles is like, yeah, basically it's good enough. It's good, but not quite good enough. And we'll just leave it at that and move on. And before we do that, we're going to take another break here on the show. So don't go away. We'll be back in just a moment.
Have you ever experienced turbulence on a flight and wondered why?
And you can see all the terrain around you. You've got no issue with visibility or anything?
No, everything's peachy.
Maybe you've sat on the tarmac for hours wondering why your plane isn't moving.
Well, we're outside here. They're saying the ramp is closed. They won't let us park because of Air Force One.
Listen in on the conversations between pilots and air traffic controllers on the Air Traffic Out of Control podcast.
510 is declaring an emergency. There's smoke in the cabin. I need to make a landing right now on 31 left.
We have the most interesting, wild, and funny ATC recordings you will ever hear. Check out Air Traffic Out of Control wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
All All right. Well, welcome back. And we are talking about the latest Formula One news. And we're going to go back to Red Bull and Sergio Perez. Max Verstappen's teammate said he believes that that the team still needs to take more risks in qualifying with their strategy to really make the most of what they can do. And this, well, I mean, obviously he didn't make it of Q2 a couple of weeks ago, but certainly I think that when it comes to Red Bull, I think that they really have to think outside of the box, really be unorthodox, and maybe be quite aggressive and do things that they might not have normally done. I don't want to say it's a desperation to try and do that to beat Mercedes, because I don't think that they really are a team that is desperate. I think that they're a team that knows that there's an opportunity there. I think that they realize that the window was open now for them to do something, to challenge for a championship, either a drivers or a constructors or perhaps both. And to do that, I think that they're going to have to push in areas and compete in areas that maybe they would have been, I guess, maybe a little bit more conservative in the past. I mean, they clearly have a good car. They've got a good engine. They've got a pair of very good drivers. And I think that they really need to take advantage of that. And Sergio Perez was asked by motorsport.com whether the tactics that the team were or employing were a challenge for him. He said, quote, "Not really. We could have diverted the strategy at the end of run one, but I was pretty confident because I lost 3/10 in just one corner by doing a mistake. So I was pretty confident I was going to be able to get the lap time. We had a little issue with the brakes that we only found out about later. And now we understand what went wrong. I think without that issue, we definitely should have been through. It was the right thing to do. If you have the car and exploit the maximum results, you have to be on the best possible strategy. And that means taking some risks. We have to take that. Considering that we thought we had the pace, it was definitely the right thing to do," end quote. But just in general, I think that Red Bull, just sticking with them, they really do need to be, they need to be proactive rather than reactive. And even though that that Max came very close to passing Lewis Hamilton and taking that win in Bahrain a couple of weeks ago, although he got a really, really a phenomenal pit stop there on his last stop, I believe it was. It was a sub-2-second stop. It was about 1.9 seconds. Absolutely phenomenal. It was the stop that he needed. And of course, they were running their own race and they were running their own strategy. But I have to think, you know, going back to that race, that if you're going to give an edge to anybody over, you know, Red Bull or Mercedes, I think you have to tip, your hat at Mercedes for having the edge. It was slight, but I think that they really did it. I think that they were a little bit bolder when it came to their tactics and their strategies, and when they made their timings for pit stops. And it wasn't like it gained them huge margins of time on the track, but it gained them just enough. And Max really only had that one opportunity to really try for an overtake for Lewis Hamilton. He got around. He didn't do it legally, of course, because he exceeded the track limits. And, he had to give that one back. And then afterwards, his tires just weren't in the shape. But Mercedes, I think that their strategy in that race was on point. And even though they tried to beat Red Bull to the undercut, they were very successful in doing so. And I think in being a little bit more proactive and really taking the initiative, they made Red Bull react to them a little bit more than the other way around. And I think that that's another thing that Red Bull are going to have to really think about and really focus on if they were really going to take the battle to Mercedes. Now, I think this is another interesting quote here from Max Verstappen. With Red Bull, he believes that he could be even better with an F1 title challenging caliber car. And well, I think that's kind of an obvious kind of statement. I mean, Max, I don't mean any disrespect in that, but we all know right now that you're a very good driver. And I think that he's been driving the wheels off of that car and driving it right up to the pretty much the maximum of what it's been capable of over the past couple of years. I think that he's taken every ounce of a performance out of that that car and every horsepower out of that that engine that he's had in the back and driven it to the absolute limit and beyond. Anyways, I think it's interesting the way that he explained himself. Quote, "I think that you were once in a position anyway with having a car to fight for the title. Everything becomes a lot easier. Of course, there's pressure to win a championship because you are fighting other people. But overall, I think it's a much better situation to be in than always just not, because then you have to take a lot more risks all the time to try and get a good result out of it. Yeah, to risk it a bit more on one lap or in a certain area in one of the race. And then, of course, mistakes can happen. So I'm just looking forward and hoping that, of course, I can have a car to be in a championship fight, because I think that's where I'm even better, because it's a lot nicer and a lot easier to deal with, end quote. And yeah, I mean, I totally agree. He's basically saying that if you're trying to make more with less, you have to push harder. And if you're pushing harder, then you're going to be a little bit more close. You're going to be closer to the edge as a driver. You're pushing the machinery to the limits. And of course, that's when mistakes and things can happen like that, when, you know, compared to having a car that's maybe a little bit, you know, more domineering, dominating than everyone else, then certainly he's going to be in a much better situation. I guess it's kind of scary, too. I mean, if we've seen Max do what he can do in equipment that maybe isn't as good, obviously, when it comes to what the Mercedes guys have, I think that might be one of those comments if you're one of his rivals, thinking, God, you know, if Max is already this good in maybe subpar equipment, so what's he going to be like if he gets a car that's the same caliber of the Mercedes that Lewis Hamilton and his teammates have had over the over the past basically decade? And I think that might really you know, I think it might scare a few people, for lack of a better term. Anyways, moving now on to Aston Martin, Sebastian Vettel senses what he believes are positive responses from Aston Martin over some of the struggles that they've had in preseason testing and through the first race at Bahrain. I mean, it was frustrating to watch them. And of course, they're one of these low rake concept cars, just like Mercedes. And these are some of the teams that running that concept that are struggling more than the rest. I mean, Lance Stroll was only able to eke out a single point, and Sebastian, of course, he didn't make it out of Q1, and then he got sort of tangled up in all of those yellow flags on the last hot lap in Q1. And he's given the you know, the time penalty, or he's given the penalty on top of that of 5 grid places or whatever it was, and starts from the back of the car, or sorry, the back of the grid. And in the race itself, I mean, he did get up into the points at one stage in the race, and then unfortunately he drove up the backside of Esteban Ocon going into turn one in the latter part of the race. And well, I think that's unfortunately that's going to be the moment from Bahrain 2021 that everybody's going to remember from Sebastian Vettel. And he did acknowledge that, well, he basically said that Bahrain wasn't a great weekend. Those are his words exactly. And no, Seb, it was not a great weekend. Anyways, he did go on to explain a little bit more. He said, quote, "We went through basically everything that happened. I think the response has been quite positive. Obviously, the spirit is great in the team. I'm willing to put everything in that I can to try and understand, to try and help, and to try and have a better race this weekend. I think we are well prepared, and we'll see what we get. We learned a little bit about our car to understand a little bit more where it wants to try and be, and take it from there. Obviously, we're not quite where we expected or wanted to be, but it is what it is now. We have to tackle it bit by bit and take it one step at a time. That's what it feels like we are doing," end quote. So, yeah, I mean, again, it goes back to what Mark and I were talking about. Well, I think we've talked about it a couple times in recent weeks, just the fact that, you know, with the limited winter testing that's available, and the fact that that Aston Martin Sebastian Vettel got even fewer laps, certainly was evident going into that first race in Bahrain. So very much like the story we were talking just a few minutes ago about Ferrari making some positive strides forward. Sounds that Vettel, he's kind of guarded, though, the way that he's talking. I mean, he's not overly gushing or enthusiastic or praising the car, but it sounds that he's really kind of keeping his judgment and his statements in check, and acknowledging, yes, things are, it's feeling more positive, but maybe they're just not quite big enough to get them, launch them forward where they really want and need to be. Anyways, time for another break here on the show. Be back in just a moment, so don't go away. All right, well, welcome back to the show. Mark Daly here, breaking down all the latest Formula One news as we count down the minutes to qualifying at Imola, which is set to get going just in about 5 hours from now, where I sit here now as the clock ticks over. It is now 12 a.m. here on the west coast of North America on Pacific Standard Time, and qualifying set to get going at 0500 hours here locally. And maybe by the time that I get the show all recorded and cut and edited and posted, I'll be able to sit down and watch qualifying. But actually, doesn't take that long. And I do plan to get up early in the morning to go out and get a bike ride in, get in some exercise. So I think I'll watch it when I come home and I sit down and have my breakfast. Seems like a nice way to spend the morning. Anyways, Aston Martin, just sticking with them, they're trying to push the FIA to really cut the gap between the high and low rake F1 cars, and they want the FIA to tweak the aero rules to make things a little bit more equal between the two the two concepts. And so this is really being pushed by Aston Martin team principal Otmar Szafnauer. He's expressed what he calls some unease, which the new rules were brought in by the FIA with the two key issues that are that really understood to be the big focus here. So the first issue is whether or not it was right for the FIA to push the floor changes through on safety grounds, and with when Pirelli, the tire supplier, making a more robust rubber for this season, which would have coped better and handled the higher downforce levels that were expected at any rate. And Szafnauer, he was pretty adamant and clear that what the safety matter was. He said the regulation change that was made for safety reasons, that kind of governance rests solely on the FIA. Like I said, I think the type of regulation change rests solely with the FIA. They're the experts. I think the right thing to do is to have the discussions with the FIA and find out exactly what happened and why. Then we can see if there is something that can be done and make it more equitable. I think that's the right thing to do. We as a team have to work hard to try and claw back everything we can, but at the same time, we should be having the discussions with the FAA to make it more equitable. Now, you kind of take this up against a man that always seems to have an opinion and a comment on everything, and that is Red Bull team principal Christian Horner, and he believes that Aston Martin are being a little naive in their approach and their comments that they want the FIA and Formula One to tweak the aero rules. And, I think it's kind of interesting. Horner had the following to say, quote, "We had a sample of one, the Mercedes that won the race with what we classify as a low rake car. They had absolutely equal, if not maybe better tire degradation than we had in Bahrain. They looked mighty impressive here, and we've only run at one circuit so far. But ignoring all of that, there is a process for regulations to be introduced, and they voted through unanimously through the different regulations. Aston Martin Racing Point would have had to vote for before being passed through the Formula One Commission and to the World Motorsport Council. They all voted through unanimously. When there was a front wing change a few years ago, it really hurt us. We voted against it, but you have to accept it. It seems a little naive to think that suddenly the rules are going to get changed after the single a sample of a single race, after that process is fully being fully followed. I'm struggling to get my head around that," end quote. So, yeah, I mean, he does make a good point there that it seems a little bit early to really be pushing for changes and tweaks to the rules when there's only one race under the belt. But, you know, it really is kind of funny when you think about it that it is the Mercedes, it is the Racing Point, the Aston Martin that I'm thinking back to last year, of course, in the pink Mercedes, who they basically followed that same aero concept that Mercedes have, and they're both kind of struggling with that. And, you know, it seems kind of counterintuitive that they did vote in favor of it, and now it's not working out. They want the rules tweaked. So I think that's a situation that we'll definitely have to keep an eye on, whether or not it's going to happen or not. But as Horner so rightly pointed out, that there was that changes to the front wings a couple of years ago, and it did hurt them. And I remember that story at the time. I can't remember now what year that was exactly. It was within the last two or three years. But like you said, you know, you just have to accept it and work with it and move on. Now, moving on to the next story, and this one would drive Mark Hamilton absolutely crazy because I always seem to have a Valtteri Bottas story each and every week, and I think that Mark has really moved on from anything Valtteri Bottas, other than, I guess, you know, if he makes some headlines for winning a race or maybe contending for the title, which obviously probably isn't going to happen. Anyways, Toto Wolff, team principal at Mercedes, doubts that Valtteri came close to retiring after team orders in Russia a couple of years ago, and this came from the comments that Valtteri Bottas made in season 3 of Formula One Drive to Survive on Netflix. Anyways, this really was going back you know, almost 3 years ago now to the 2018 Russian Grand Prix, when Bottas was asked, he was leading the race. I mean, he's always run very well there. He's always done very good at Sochi. Anyways, there he was asked to move over for Lewis Hamilton to protect their 1-2 finish, and then also Lewis was contending for the title, although at that point he'd already built up a fairly healthy lead in the championship. Anyways, Valtteri was pretty you know, upset about that. Anyways, in DTS he had to say, quote, "That was tough to accept. I was pretty angry. Honestly, I was thinking, why do I do this? I was even thinking of quitting, of giving up. Straight after the race, I said I would not do it again," end quote. Toto, he had to say, quote, "No, he was very downhearted, of course. I understand that, but I don't think he was close to retirement because he's too much of a competitor for that. I can imagine in the heat of the situation after the race, you don't understand the world," end quote. So, yeah, I mean, I thought that was a bit of a bit of a stretch to maybe think that Valtteri would want to go as far as quit Mercedes or quit Formula One in general. I mean, come on, face it. We've all faced difficult situations in our own life, at work or whatever it might be, and sometimes you just feel like throwing your hands up in the air and saying, I'm done. I've had enough. I'm finished. I'm out of here. And I think that's just that's human nature. I think we all reach those points, at certain times in our lives. And I think Valtteri was obviously very, very disappointed and frustrated about it. And why would you be? I mean, he was he had that race under control, and he doesn't want to concede anything to his teammates. And if I remember correctly, that might have been the same race or about the same time in that year when Toto made that that infamous wingman quote that Valtteri was the ideal wingman to Lewis Hamilton, which I think that it might have been a little bit of a slip, but I think it was very revealing, and Valtteri himself was a little bit salty about that and frustrated, and you can completely understand why. Anyways, I'm just going to talk about this one here before we go into our last break here on the show tonight. Max Verstappen wants to have talks about what he calls the FIA's messy policy or policing of the track limits. This was a big topic of a discussion in Bahrain a couple of weeks ago, and I think that's it has to be that way. And we talked about it at the time that, track limits, they're either in effect for everyone all weekend long, all the time. You just can't kind of police it here and there. You either exceed the track limits at turn 4, turn 5, turn 9, whatever it is at any given track. And there shouldn't be any gray area. It should be completely black and white that you've either exceeded track limits and you're going to have your time deleted, or you haven't. We saw everybody really pushing the limits at that track at turn 4 in Bahrain. Hamilton went really, really wide, and ironically, that's where Max was able to get around Lewis Hamilton. And of course, when you see it and you go back, you look at the video, you look at some of the pictures, I mean, Max, it wasn't just that he had like a half a wheel over the white line. I mean, he was a car width over exceeding the track limits. And the point is that you're supposed to keep your car between the two white lines on either side of the track. And, like I just say, you're either, either within them or you're not. And, Max is, completely right in saying that that they should be policed, and they should be, policed consistently. And hopefully we'll see some common sense returning again for this weekend. Anyways, time for a final break here on the show, and we're going to come back. Got a couple more stories to talk about, and then we're just going to go over some of the stats as we count down the minutes to Imola, to the qualifying, now just 5 hours away. All right. Well, welcome back for the final segment, the last part of the show. Mark Daly here. Yes, it is just me tonight. For those of you just tuning in, Mark and I just couldn't get our schedules to line up, but don't worry. He'll be back to help wrap up all the action from Imola when we do our race recap on Sunday night. Anyways, last couple of stories here. I was going to say Fernando Ricciardo. Mark, come on, get that together. I mean, Danny Ricciardo would probably come up and smack me upside of the head for that comment. Anyways, Daniel Ricciardo, the McLaren driver, has apologized for a comment that he made earlier this week when he called the Formula One social media team effing idiots. Take it out of context. You're probably watching or wondering what Danny Rick is talking about. Anyways, I'll read the entire quote. And he was talking about, this came out in an interview with UK lifestyle magazine Square Mile. And Danny was saying that basically he feels that that Formula One is putting too much footage of crashes in promotional content, and he wants them to focus more on other actual highlights instead of situations where people could be in serious situations and feels like it's being trivialized and being used in the wrong way. Anyways, Danny had to say, quote, "I think last year F1 put on their social channels like a top 10 moments of the year or something, and 8 of the 10 were crashes, and I was just like, you guys are effing idiots. Maybe 12-year-old kids want to see that kind of content, and that's cool because they don't know any better, but we're not kids. Just do better, guys. Do better than that," end quote. So, yeah, I mean, certainly you don't want to see people getting hurt. I mean, car accidents, crashes and things like that. I mean, it's just human nature just to watch that. I mean, I think we were all glued to our TV wondering what happened to Roman Grosjean at Bahrain last year when he went through the Armco barrier and that big fire and everything. I mean, it was frightening, and you just want to know one way or another when the TV footage cuts away and it goes to the safety car and you can see the smoke, you can see the fire, but you have no idea what's happening. And I think it's just human nature. You want to know, is he okay or is he not okay? Like what's going on here? But I mean, certainly when it comes to promotional content, I agree with Danny Ricciardo. I mean, guys, come on, there's so many better things that you can focus on. And if we want to see things like that, I mean, I guess we could go watch a demolition derby or something like that. Anyways, Ricciardo had to follow it up by saying, quote, "I certainly have got to be better with my choice of words. I certainly, if I could, take that quote back. It was too aggressive. I should know better as well, being in the sport probably as long as I have. And even if I feel at the time it might be out of context, I know that it's going to get pushed, so I should do better with that. I'm not denying I said it, but the tone doesn't always get shown as maybe it was in that moment. And it could be just me as well. Sometimes I get too comfortable with whoever's conducting the interview, and I might just take it a little lightly," end quote. All right, so one last story here. I was going to say Sebastian Vettel. It's starting to get late here, guys. It's after midnight. It's been a busy week. I'm starting to mix up names. Anyways, Lewis Hamilton says that his rivalry with Sebastian Vettel ranks as his favorite from his Formula One career so far, and he thinks that the battles that the two of them have had on the track have helped them actually bring them closer together. So this is kind of interesting. Hamilton was asked, what his favorite rivalry was, and he said, "Mine and Seb's battle, my favorite up till now. Knowing how hard it is to be where we are today, knowing that I was racing against an incredible driver, not only that, but a great man in Seb. He's a four-time world champion. Ultimately, when you're racing against another team at the same time, Ferrari, who were very strong at the time, it took a lot of both of us in that period of time to remain focused, to deliver weekend in, weekend out. I think whilst it was a difficult period for us, I think it probably brought us closer as well, because the respect that we have between us, I think, is huge," end quote. So that's kind of cool. So it was interesting. You look at those two between them. They've won, I think it's 10 out of the last 11 world championships. So there's a lot of trophies for race wins and world championships and podiums up there. It's absolutely incredible what those two guys have accomplished over the last decade or so. Anyways, let's just take a quick look now here at some of the stats for Imola at the racetrack. It is a 63-lap race with a race distance of 309 kilometers. The circuit length is 4.91 kilometers. The lap record was set last year by Lewis Hamilton, a 115.484. And the compounds that Pirelli are bringing this weekend are the C2 Hard, C3 Mediums, and the C4 Softs. I know it's kind of easier, I guess, from just following on TV, all just to have a hard, medium, and soft. But I kind of like the soft and the super soft and the hyper soft. You kind of really got an idea of just the compound that they were using. They've got the different kinds, you can see here the C2, C3, and C4. But for me, just the old way they used to do it used to work a little bit easier. So last year, of course, the race results, the top five, well, let's just do the top 10, was Lewis Hamilton, Valtteri Bottas, Danny Ricciardo on the podium. Then you had Danny Kvyat and the AlphaTauri, fourth. Charles Leclerc fifth, Sergio Perez, Carlos Sainz, Lando Norris, Kimi Raikkonen, and Antonio Giovinazzi rounding out the top 10. Max Verstappen crashing out of that race, and George Russell putting it into the wall under the safety car. Those were some of the the memorable moments from that race. But looking forward to this one. And as I said earlier in the show, that we will get a good idea that, how close Mercedes and Red Bull are between the two of them. And I'm really hoping that we can see a repeat of Bahrain a couple of weeks ago. I think it was a little bit disappointing that that Max didn't get more time in during free practice. But again, take that with a bit of a pinch of salt. I'm really looking forward to seeing qualifying when it gets going in a couple of hours from now, and ultimately how it shakes out on Sunday afternoon. And of course, this is interesting. I mean, Imola wasn't even on the radar just a year or so ago. I mean, it really came back into I don't want to say the limelight, but it came back onto the Formula One circuit last year after the season had to be retooled and put back together because of the pandemic and everything that was canceled. And that's why the lap record, Lewis's time was from last year, because it was the first time the Formula One went to Imola since 2006. They actually had a really long run. I mean, they had the Italian Grand Prix there in 1980, and then it was called the San Marino Grand Prix from 81 to 2006, and then we had basically almost a 15-year gap in between. But I quite enjoyed it last year. Really looking forward to going back this year, and really seeing the way, or looking forward to see how it pans out. Anyways, that is it for me. Hopefully the show is didn't lack anything too much without Mark. Like I said, I miss not having him here tonight, but looking forward to hearing his opinions and his takes on things when we come back on Sunday night. And if you want to get in touch, easiest ways to do so on Twitter at ScuderiaF1Pod or via email at ScuderiaF1Pod@gmail.com. And that's it. That's a wrap. Enjoy qualifying. Enjoy the race. We'll be back in a couple of days. And until then, that's bye for now.